Hey, good morning. Come on in and have a seat this morning. Nice to be in a warm place, isn't it? Nice and cold outside, chilly. Hey, I want to draw our attention to a couple of things as we begin this morning. Obviously, we're going to be observing the Lord's Supper here in a bit, and so you want to take advantage of the time between now and then and allow the Lord to search your heart. We don't want to participate in a way that's unworthy of the Lord. I wanted to draw your attention to Josh's newest Bible study tip on the front of the bulletin, and they're available as you leave if you haven't gotten one. Grasping the text in your own town or reading in context, and this week the figures of speech is being emphasized with a couple of examples, and so take a look at those and then start mentally preparing yourself to see those as you read your Bible, and it'll help us in our understanding. And if you want to go a little bit deeper, read a little bit more about it, use this QR code and it'll take you to our webpage and give you a little bit more information. And that's the goal of that. This morning, there is not going to be any super church. The kids are going to be in here with us. There is going to be a pre-K room, and when we break up here in a minute and greet each other, that'd be a great time if you want to drop your kids off. That's certainly available. Wanted to mention as well that tonight there is a family game night in the fellowship hall, and Josh is in charge of that. And if you could let him know that you're coming, and if you have a rough idea of how many might be coming with you, we'll have enough pizza and food for those that come and participate. Usually a good time. Why don't we stand together and let's ask the Lord to have his way in this worship service. Father, we bow before you. We acknowledge you as creator, as the originator of life, the giver of life, the one who has death in your hands. Thank you that you offer eternal life through Christ, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask this morning that we would be challenged in that arena. I pray especially for those that are here that maybe have never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, for those of us who, because of your kindness and your grace, who have used this worship service to cause us to be more conformed to your image, we pray that your spirit would have absolute control in this place of our hearts in whatever manner we participate. And we ask that you would worship and be worshiped and be among us. And we pray that in Christ's name. Amen. Why don't you reach out and talk with someone that you haven't talked with yet this morning? All right, go ahead and find your way back to your pew and have a seat if you will. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 12, it says, When he, Jesus, heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way by the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and those dwelling in the region and shadows of death, on them a light has dawned. And from that time, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then there's a passage where we have Matthew recording the calling of some of his disciples. And then it says in verse 23, and he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. And seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
I want you to take a Bible in the pew and open it to Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to read something together. And go ahead and stand to your feet if you will. We're in the ESV, English Standard Version, Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 13 through 16 together. So I'll start and you just join in and we'll read that together. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Go ahead and be seated.
Do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven.
At this time, we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. And if the men that are going to help distribute the elements, if they'd go ahead and come forward and just go right ahead and start distributing them, if that's okay. We observe the Lord's Supper on a regular basis. One of the things that we struggle with, the things that we do on a regular basis, sometimes it becomes a routine. And We're told to do this for a reason. Jesus told us to do this for more than one reason. So let's try not to do it as a routine. This morning we're going to do a little bit different. In a minute, I'm going to read some verses in Luke 22. We're going to read verses 14 through 20. And in those verses, Jesus emphasizes, and I want to emphasize one statement that he made. He says, "Do this in remembrance of me." You've heard that your whole life in churches. You've seen it on the altars throughout your lives. "Do this in remembrance of me." So as we participate in the Lord's Supper, that's one of the things that we're supposed to do, is remember him. So in a minute, I'm going to ask you, and you're going to get a chance to share with everyone, what do you remember about Jesus? I want you to think about it like how you remember a loved one, maybe a loved one that you've lost that may have passed already. Someone special, someone that you have a special loving relationship with, someone that you are really close with. I want you to think about the kind of memories you had with that person. And sometimes with me, those memories are small, insignificant things that nobody else would think would be a big deal. And sometimes those memories are all about the person's character, all about the kind of the person that they were. Sometimes those memories are about something that that person did, that they did for you out of love. But it's a reflection of the closeness, the love, and the relationship you have with that person is the kind of memories that you have of them. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." So after I read these verses, I want you to tell and share with us, what do you remember about Jesus? So think about that. I'm going to read Luke 22, starting in verse 14. "And then when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, 'I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And likewise the cup after he had eaten, saying, 'This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me.'" What do you remember special about Jesus that is personal for you? Would someone like to pass out? So, would you all like to share? What do you remember about Jesus that is special for you? Just raise your hand and we're going to get a mic to you. What did Jesus do? What do you know? Just a couple of sentences.
The way that he humbled himself as God and let his creation beat him beyond human recognition. That's what I remember.
He humbled himself. Someone else up in this area to where we're not running all over the church? Yeah, okay, you can. What did he do personal for you? What are your memories of Jesus?
He patiently waited until he got me to the point where I understood what was happening. And patience with me for as long as it took.
Even when you don't know him, he is patiently waiting for you. Someone else? What did Jesus, what are your memories of Jesus? What has he done for you? How is he special to you?
He calls me friend.
And he calls you friend. And a friend walks with you and talks with you and is with you through the thick and the thin.
He's always there when I need him.
He's always there. He never leaves. Sometimes we walk away, but he's walking with us.
He's made himself relevant to everyone. I listen to, I look at my two-year-old granddaughters talk about Jesus. And, you know, I probably know more intellectually about Jesus than they do, but he's as relevant to a two-year-old as he is to me.
And isn't that amazing? It's not how long you know him. It is how close you know him. And how personal and how loving it is. Right from the very beginning, you know him that well. We're walking you all over the church.
He comforts me continuously.
Say that again.
He comforts me continuously.
He provides comfort, especially when we need it. We need it almost all the time.
His loving tenderness and his voice through the word that penetrates my heart brings me to praise, brings me to repentance. But it's just listening to his voice that is always full of grace and love. And that's the thing that, one of the things.
The disciples got to hear his voice. Isn't that amazing? But we have the chance to hear his voice also, maybe not audibly, but through his word. And he does desire to speak to us and to lead us. And he can and he does. Someone else. What are your memories of Jesus?
I love Jesus, and I love the fact that he is not wimpy about what he needs to tell you. He'll straighten you out, but always in love.
He can be pretty direct sometimes, can't he? And we should appreciate that. Thank you, Kim. That's good. So, we remember Jesus from the relationship that we have with him. So the Lord's Supper is also a time in which we examine our lives and our relationship with him. And so at this time, while we participate, examine yourself. And if you had a hard time coming up with thoughts of what your memories are of Jesus, maybe you need to get to know him a little bit better. We have the opportunity to know him better because he has done so much. He's our protector, our savior. He saved us. He saved us from something and to something. He's all-powerful. He's almighty. He was the perfect sacrifice for our sins. You can go on and on of the things that he has done for that. And it is for you personally. So maybe we should all examine ourselves right now. And it is possible that you may need a closer walk with him, but it's also possible that you may not even know him at all right now this morning. So you need to examine yourselves. So, in Luke it says, and he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup, after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Bow with me. Lord, we come to you this morning. First, look into our hearts and to the power of your Holy Spirit. Illuminate our lives to you. We love you. We praise you. But we desire for you to talk to us, walk with us, teach us, lead us. We thank you for the love that you share for us and that you have for us, even though we don't deserve it. We can't earn it. You were the perfect sacrifice, Lord. You were the sacrifice for the sins that I have committed. Thank you, Lord. I don't deserve it. You did it anyway. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly, I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid that last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery."
Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. You have heard that it was said, 'An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.' But I say to you, do not resist the one is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. You have heard it. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your Father, as your Heavenly Father is perfect.
Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others your trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you.
The victory. One day we will see face to face. Jesus, there a greater vision of grace. And in a moment we shall be changed. Yes, in a moment we shall be.
Lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if the eye is healthy, then the whole body will be full of light. But if the eye is bad, then the whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for they will either hate the one and love the other, or they will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money.
Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble.
judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your own eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you.
Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If then you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?
So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few.
Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear good fruit or bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And cast out demons in your name, and do mighty, many mighty good works in your name, and then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.
Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it.
Verse 28 says, when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teachings, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. They studied the law so they could teach it. He wrote it and was just working from everything that he knew. Perfect knowledge, complete and perfect knowledge. And they were just blown away. And likely, hearing the Sermon on the Mount should grip our hearts as well. If we're a believer, it reminds us all by myself, there's no way. I can't do it. I'm going to try and get through this illustration. I remember 4 or 5 days after I was saved that I was driving home from Deerhorn, was that the name of it? Kathy's apartment one evening, and it was night, and I was having a spiritual battle that was probably one of the most intense that I have experienced, though I've had others also. And I remember crying out to the Lord saying, I can't honor you and do the things that you want me to do. And when you hear the Beatitudes and see the standard that Jesus has, it should drive us to the place of, there is nothing in me that is enabling me to be able to meet that standard. I'm absolutely desperate before God. And that was Jesus' intent. He came alongside of the law of Moses and took it to another level so that it shows us that even on the inside, we can't do the things that God wants, let alone the externals that he desires and requires of us as well. And so it causes us to cry out to God for mercy. Jesus' first message astonished the crowds, and I hope it astonishes you as well, that it grips your heart, reminds you, if you need to be reminded, God, in and of myself, all by myself, I can't be pleasing to you. I must have, not help, I must have someone who does it for me, and that's the person of Jesus Christ. And it's God's goodness and his kindness and his grace, if you're his child, that he's drawn you to himself, that you've believed on the Lord and he gives you that desire to want to be pleasing to him. And it's my prayer that if you're here this morning, no matter how churched you are or how churched you aren't, that you recognize Jesus is my only answer. There isn't any way that I can meet the standard that he's given in the Beatitudes or in the Sermon on the Mount. So I hope this has gripped your heart this morning. Let me lead us in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow before you. We thank you for your willingness to send your Son, your only begotten Son, to become flesh, to suffer, to die, to be resurrected, that we might have life. Thank you for Jesus' teachings, not just in the Sermon on the Mount or the words that we might call the red letters in our Bible, but for all scripture, because it's all inspired. And I ask that you would use it to grow me, to grow us. Thank you that we're pleasing by faith alone because of your grace in the person of Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father, for the young child or the older man or woman or anyone in between that's here this morning, that might be trusting in their religiosity, their I'm doing what I can-ness. Help them recognize that we're absolutely desperate and in need of your grace and the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for reminding us of that with the Sermon on the Mount. Thank you for receiving our worship. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Jenna. we bow before you. And more important than us sensing that we've had a worship experience is the worship that you receive that we've offered. And we're thankful that you give us the worship experience, but we're especially desirous that you would worship, that you would receive the worship that we offer. So this morning, use this service to speak to our hearts and draw us closer to you, wherever it may be that we are in our journey. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.